This podcast is supported by Elite Sports Travel. Visit elitesportstravel.co.uk to view the various packages available to watch live NFL games in the US. Bookings are currently available for the Super Bowl in February and also the 2023 season in Las Vegas. Now let's get into the podcast.
This is Ryan Fitzpatrick, and you're listening to the Neil Reynolds Podcast.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Neil Reynolds Podcast in association with Elite Sports Travel. Before we get to today's guest, there's just enough time for me to tell you about the Neil Reynolds West Coast Road Trip with Elite Sports Travel. There's still time for you to get involved. It's from December the 3rd to December the 12th, taking in three games in three great cities. So you're going to be going to Las Vegas, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. So on Sunday, December the 4th, watching the Los Angeles Chargers at the Las Vegas Raiders. Then December the 8th, it's the Raiders at the Rams at SoFi Stadium. And then finishing off on Sunday, December the 11th, with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the San Francisco 49ers. But I want to tell you about a special event we've got on Wednesday, December the 7th in Los Angeles. If you can make that trip, you get a chance to meet the Around the NFL podcast heroes, because I'm going to be doing a special show. We'll have a special evening with Dan Hansus, Greg Rosenthal, and Mark Sessler. So it's going to be a great trip. Las Vegas, LA, San Francisco. There is still time to get your seat on the plane, get on the bus. We'll be traveling around America together. And if you go to at Elite Sports Trav or at Neil Reynolds NFL for all the details. Now, let's get to today's episode, and it's with a man who's only just retired from the NFL or moved away from the NFL. He's been spending time with me in the Sky Sports NFL studios, a linebacker who made more than 600 tackles in his NFL career with the Tennessee Titans, the New York Jets, and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Here's my conversation with Avery Williamson. Let's start with Sky Sports then, Avery. Are you enjoying it?
I truly am, and it's really been fun just to be in that setting multiple times a week, and really I'm really getting practicing, really getting used to it, because you know in the past I've only done maybe an hour and then I'm done. I don't do anything for the next 2 months, so to be able to do multiple broadcasts and getting work with guys like yourself and Jay Bell is really cool, and I've learned a whole lot so far.
You've learned there's a lot of hours when we cover all those games, right? It's long,
especially not in the same country.
You had a lot to do that time.
Yeah.
Anything that surprised you about sort of working on live TV for that long, or is it kind of what you expected?
It's kind of what I expected, because I've been on a few. Yeah, I've been on like First Take, NFL Network, so I know how it is, but you still get those nerves, and that's nothing new. I get those nerves, but now I'm starting to really, really calm down and just be direct, thinking before I speak, not using filler words and things like that. So I definitely can see myself improving.
Yeah, you're very good. You're very good. It's been great to have you with us. I haven't asked you this question. I watch you watching the games as well. And I listen to you and Jason Bell and, because I can get a steer from you guys, how you react in terms of what we discuss next. I haven't actually asked you this question, but you're only 30 years old. You were still in the league last year. Do you watch the games on Sundays with us now, sitting there thinking, I could still do this?
It's kind of one of those things where you can still I can still play, but it just kind of it's weird how things can just change. And I had an injury in 2019, came back from it, had a great season, and then everything kind of just went cold. So I don't know what happened, but it's just one of those things. And I'm not the only story, but I'm just one of the many that, this league is, just kind of thrown to the side. So it's part of it, because you just have so many guys coming off the street that can, go out there and compete and do a job. So yeah, it's tough. It's definitely tough watching and knowing that I can still get out there and you know make plays. But hey, it's part of it. Sometimes you gotta just deal with reality. And you know, it's somebody told me you're either gonna have to deal with the pain of being done with it now or at some point in your life. So nobody really has a time on when they're gonna be done.
Yeah, well, normally on this podcast, I'll go through from growing up all the way to the end of your career, but you've kind of led me to the end already. So I'm going to go in reverse a little bit here. So the way you ended, so on the practice squads of Denver, Tennessee, then back to Denver and released 2 days before Christmas. That must have been weird as a veteran player to find yourself on practice squads. And so does that kind of... Is that where it feels like there was unfinished business? Because so many players don't get to control how they finish the game, but there can still be frustration with that.
Yeah, that was a big part of me being really, you know, being upset. You know, with the new CBA, they were allowing guys that were, you know, 8-year veterans like myself to be able to be put on practice squad. So that was really frustrating in the sense of I know I can be out there and competing. So I was on the practice squad for 1 week, and then I got a call from my old team, and they were saying, hey, we need you, and we'd love for you to come back. And I go there, and I don't play any defense. I was on the sideline. I played a couple of special teams reps, and then after the third week, I got cut. And I just, you know, never been cut before and never been in that situation. So 1 week later, I ended up signing back with the Broncos. And it was crazy because the week I left, the Broncos, the first time, their starter, he tore his pec. So I would have been up there next week. And now I'm sitting on the sideline in Tennessee. And so I went back to the Broncos, and I was on practice squad for like 6 more weeks maybe. And I got kind of just fed up with everything. And I was like, not making, you know, any traction with this team. And my son, he was actually about to be born at the end of the year. And I just, I'm so mad, Neil. Look, I ended up just walking off the field.
Oh, did you?
Yes, during practice. I was so fed up. It was warm-ups. We were warming up for practice. And I was just mad. I feel like I had all the weight on my shoulders of the world. And I was just upset about everything. And I just took my helmet off and just walked into the locker room. And I called up the GM. I was like, hey, just come here and talk to me. And I was like, you know, it's not for me. And you know, that was literally my last snap on the field. So, you know, I didn't expect it to be like that. But, you know, I just kind of didn't want to tarnish my legacy. And, you know, I had to feel like I had a really good career, and didn't feel right being on practice squad, you know.
No, not at that age, that far into the league as well. Practice squads for those first and second year guys.
Exactly. Sitting in the stands watching the game. So yeah, it's part of it though. I enjoyed my career and I made the most of it. I feel like I still get out there, but yeah, at least I walked away healthy.
Yeah, absolutely. Great numbers as well. Like I said, more than 600 tackles. What does it take to make 600 tackles in the NFL? Is it instincts? Is it athleticism? Both?
Yeah, instincts, athleticism, just some luck to, you know, God's grace to stay healthy, and you know, that's really what it takes, because that's a lot of tackles.
That's a lot of tackles. It's a lot of Ray tackles. Ray Lewis, who played your position, the great Ray Lewis, once told me, playing inside linebacker, it's about want to. You got to want to be the first to the ball. You got to want to make the tackles. There's a bit of that as well, isn't there, to your position?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I remember my first year, you know, I was getting to the ball, but I started to watch film and stuff of other guys. And that second year, I was kind of like, hey, I need to kind of be more direct. I need to be more, hey, when I see it go. And I kind of implemented that to my game my second year, where I was just, hey, I see ball, go get ball, don't stop, just when you run into the pile, don't stop your feet, just run, just go hit, whatever. And that third year, that's where I started to kind of evolve and really take off. And that's when I was starting to really get instinctive and making more plays. And man, I loved it, man. It was fun. I was really having fun.
It shows that knowing you now and knowing the kind of person you are, it shows how much the game must have worn you down for you to walk off, because you're not that sort of person. So it is a real indication of that. Let's go back to the start then. High school in Tennessee, you're a running back and a linebacker. Was there a part of you that always thought, I could do this both ways? I could play running back. Give me the ball.
Well, actually, I was a fullback, but I did. I did want to play running back. But yeah, I mean, it was fun. It was fun in high school, scoring touchdowns, you know, getting the rock. But no, nah, I didn't want to play running back in college or nothing like that. I did not want to get hit by these guys.
You wanted to do the hitting.
I'm good.
After your college career at Kentucky, which I assume was very intense playing in the SEC, you were a fifth round draft pick. So were you happy being a fifth round draft pick and just like, that's my dream, I wanted to get to the NFL? Or were you thinking, there were 17 linebackers taken before me? Which school of thought did you fall into?
Yeah, I was definitely upset that I was taken that late. I was thinking I was going to go on the second day. I definitely thought I was going to at least maybe go third round, and didn't get the call. And then, you know, the third day, fourth round hits, still no call. I'm just sitting there kind of like, man, what's going on? And I finally got the call, pick 151. And I was ecstatic, and, just to finally get my name called. And, I was ready to go to work. But, yeah, I had a chip on my shoulder because I knew I was better than a lot of those guys.
Mm. Yeah, that's always – I guess you can use that as motivation, right, though? Did that drive you on in the early stages?
Oh, yeah. And I was always a competitor. And, you know, just with myself anyway. So just to be out there and knowing that teams doubted me, didn't think maybe I was the player the player that they thought I was, that I knew I was. So I was like, hey, I'm going to go out here and prove it. Prove these guys and beat your best guys.
When you were with Tennessee, so you're there 2014 to 2017. And we won't go through every kind of part of it, but I just fascinated to know you were part of that playoff win at Arrowhead Stadium against Kansas City, where Marcus Mariota threw a touchdown pass to himself,
Yeah, you might have been covering that game.
We would have been covering that game. So what a crazy game, and what a place to go in and win a playoff game.
Yeah, it was crazy. I still remember that. You know, it was just a different, It was a different feeling, you know, knowing that everybody in the country is watching this game right now.
And
in the world, yeah. And I played in Arrowhead a few times, but it felt really different that in that moment. I was nervous. I didn't have the best, first half, but I kind of, you know, came back. And we, the team in general, we didn't have a good first half. And that second half, man, we just really got things rolling. Locked down on defense. We knocked Travis Kelce out of the game. And we just found a way to win. That was really special, because me being from Tennessee and being able to take the Titans to the playoffs, help be a part of taking the Titans to the playoffs, and I don't know how many years, and then actually get the playoff win, that was huge. So it was something I was really excited about, and glad I could, you know, do that on my way out of Tennessee.
You must have wondered. You must have thought, this is our game. If your quarterback suddenly catching a pass that gets batted right back to him and then dives into the end zone. You just have a feeling it's going to be your day, right?
Yeah. That was one of those moments where, like, hey, we're destined to win. And it's funny because I got drafted. That was one of my draft class members, linebackers, and that batted the ball up. So I was cracking up, though. Yeah, he was like, just doing normal things, just jumping, trying to knock the pass down. And
yeah,
that was just luck. That was just pure luck.
Yeah, it was a good one. It was certainly, I remember covering that game, and we were at halftime saying, well, how did Tennessee get back into this? Because they are dead and buried at Arrowhead Stadium.
Hey, how we got back into it? Derrick Henry.
Yes.
That's how we got back. to it. They put him in, DeMarco Murray, he got hurt, and they put him in and he started running the rock. And that was, we changed the game with him.
And that was the start of Derrick Henry's kind of the run that we've seen now. I mean, how, I guess in practice, you probably don't go that full speed up against Derrick Henry. I mean, you tell me. I mean, not like when you're seeing him in a game. I mean, how, when you're watching him, how dominant is he as a player?
Oh, he's dominant. And if you don't put that into his heart that he's, hey, you're not going to run over me, then he'll take advantage of you. And I actually got to play against Derrick when my first year with the Jets. We came to the Titans, and hey, my mentality, I'm the big dog out here. So I remember it was one play, and you know, I was all fired up anyway, coming back first year away from Tennessee, and they did a swing pass to Derrick Henry, and it was just me and him, and he tried to stiff arm me, and I, you know, jumped him down, beautiful tackle, and I was so excited, just like, yo, like, I'm that dude. But
it's like, Derrick, you're gonna be on my highlight tape. Yeah, I'm not gonna be on yours.
But Derrick Henry, he's a monster. And I was definitely thinking when I was making that tackle, don't let him stiff arm you and get that arm down, because once you start getting that momentum of going back, it's over with.
I mean, I saw him in training camp once. He looks like a defensive end. And you lived and operated in a world of big men. But were you that same way? Did you think this is a beast of a player?
Yeah, no, I never got to compete against a running back like him. And I remember when I was in college, it was my senior year, and we played Alabama. It was fourth quarter, they blown us out. And they took out TJ Yeldon, and I don't know, I think it was Yeldon and maybe Kenyon Drake, maybe, I don't know.
It was like a conveyor belt for a few years, wasn't it? Yeah.
And then they put in this big number two. I'm like, who the hell is this big 6'3" running back, skinny dude? And you know, but that was Derrick Henry, and but he's definitely turned into a player that, you know, is really just kind of changed the whole aspect. I feel like, well, they had running backs his size back in the day. I remember like Brandon Jacobs, but you don't see guys right now that size moving at that speed. And I feel like he's definitely, with his game, he's changing it to where he's not just running people over. He's got moves now, and he's definitely evolved a lot. And I love watching him play.
Yeah, he is fun to watch for sure. So you went to the New York Jets. They've had some struggles over the years. What was that like when you went there and you've gone from a playoff team to then going through some losing?
Yeah, it was definitely tough, you know, going to a different team and then going to a team that just really didn't have much going on at the time. You know, it was Coach Bowles, his fourth year, and they were kind of had him on the hot seat. And it just kind of, the team wasn't really a team. It was tough. It was really tough. And, you know, we had, you know, expectations for the season. We drafted Sam Darnold. You know, that didn't pan out. And, you know, this it was tough. And, you know, going from that culture in Tennessee, what we were building, I helped build for 4 years, and then going to something that just was just a mess. It was tough. And especially, you know, seeing my team go out there and winning. So my old team. So yeah, it was tough. The money was good, but
well, that's but it. It's a business, right? You still got to look after yourself and your family.
It's a business. You got to look after yourself. So I had to make the most of it. Ended up having the best season of my career, my fifth year, and unfortunately came back my next year and tore my ACL.
Yeah, how was that? Because obviously you go through so much in an off season as a player. You go through training camp, which is tough. And then you get into the preseason, you think, well, we're almost there. You know, we're getting ready for the season. The season's a bit you probably love as a player. I always wonder this when you see players go down in preseason, if it's even more frustrating. I mean, any injury is frustrating, but just when you think you're about to get going for the year.
Yeah, it was frustrating because how it happened, you know, I wasn't even supposed to be in. And my coach just put me back in because they didn't swap in a player for me. I was checked out of the game, took my tape off and everything. And you know, they was like, hey, just get back in there for a little bit. And I just didn't expect that to happen. And, you know, it did. and found out it was ACL, and I was completely just upset. You know, I just didn't know where my career was headed. And you know, I'm glad that I was able to come back from it. And I just had my doubts at times because I had issues with my knee and you know, stiffness, and it wasn't able to bend as good. But I was glad that I was able to come back from it. And hey, I was, you know, had a half a year with the Jets, my seventh year, and finished up with the Pittsburgh Steelers. But you know, overall, I was like, hey, I'm not gonna let this thing defeat me. And I made the most of it. But yeah, it's definitely tough when you go out in the preseason. It's like, man, is that like, look, we ain't even getting paid for this.
Yeah.
So $1,500 a week. I'm like, oh my gosh.
You telling me the story the other day in the studio where you went to bed 0-8 as a New York Jet and you woke up 8-0 as a Pittsburgh Steeler. And in your last game with the Jets, you had 9 tackles. You had a really good game against Kansas City. And that's, I assume that was Patrick Mahomes then in 2020. You're all over the field making plays. Did you expect to be traded? Was it something that was on your radar?
Yeah, I was hearing the rumors, and my agent, he actually called me when we were getting off the bus going to the hotel on Saturday. And he told me that, you know, it was a chance that I was going to get traded to the Steelers and that they were talking. He hadn't heard anything, but he heard that it was conversations. So I was going into the mindset of the game just like, hey, dude, just get through this healthy. I couldn't even focus. I was like, hey, just get through this game. You might get traded. Don't get hurt. So it was after the game. We're on the plane and literally taking off, and my agent calls me. I text him. Well, actually, I answered. I was like, hey, we're taking off. And I was like, hey, text me. And he texted me, was like saying, the Steelers, they might want to make a trade for you. And I was like, he's like, you good with that? I was like, yeah. I was like, do it. So I get Wi-Fi, and I finally text him back. And he's like, hey, so you sure everything's good? I was like, good to go? I was like, yes, do it. And that was pretty much it. And I remember I was talking to one of my teammates, Chris Herndon. He put it's like a little tray down separating the seats. And I was like, yo, guess what? I said, what? I said, man, I just got traded to the Steelers. He was like, bro, no way. He's like, bro.
You got to sit on that flight with the team the rest of the time.
Yeah. I wanted to just take a parachute, just jump out. But yeah, that's how I found out. And I packed my stuff that night. And I was literally on the plane the next day going to Pittsburgh.
I tell you what I like about working with you, Avery. You're very honest. Because a lot of players would say, oh, do you know what? I was all about the team that day and I didn't care about getting hurt and I just wanted to play football. I love football. But you're right. This team doesn't want me anymore. I'm going to stay healthy and I'm going to look for my next opportunity. That exactly. is honest. That is honesty. And that's probably, I bet that's how 95% of players would think in that moment.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%. I mean, they had traded Jamal Adams. They traded one of our other defensive linemen, Steve McClendon, and they traded him to the years, and they were pretty much just you know, trying to build up for the next season. So I was like, well, I guess I'm next. And everybody got traded to a good team. So I was like, hey, well, hopefully I get traded to a good team. And I did.
Yeah, so, I love the fact you were still on the team playing while it was happening.
Yeah.
couple just to wrap up. The toughest play you've ever had to tackle, who would that be off the top
toughest.
Of your head?
The toughest player, I went against a lot of guys. I'm probably going to have to go with Le'Veon. Le'Veon Bell in his prime.
You never know where he's going to go, right? He's so patient.
He was an absolute monster, and you just didn't know what he was going to do. You know, all week coaches are like, hey, make sure you stay in your gaps. He bounces. You might have the A gap and you see him go to the C gap and you come out your gap, boom, he's back in the A gap. So, you know, gas you for 20 yards. But man, he was literally that dude. And you know, he was, they can line him up at receiver, running back. He was literally everything for that team. And I definitely remember the two times I played against him. My first year, he gashed us for like maybe 200. It was a Monday night game. I sacked Big Ben twice, though.
You had yours. You got yours, yeah.
Yeah, but my first year and my last year, we played them at Heinz. And he gashes again. it was a Thursday night game. But, yeah, he was definitely one of the most talented all-around players, I would say, that I can think of at the moment. Yeah, I definitely had to go with Le'Veon.
He was incredible to watch because he would almost be at walking pace behind the line of scrimmage, trying to read what you were doing, and then off he would go.
It was crazy how he could just – he would just have that patience. And when they brought him to the Jets, we were teammates at the Jets, he tried to repeat that same style, but he just couldn't do that because we didn't have the offensive line, and that just wasn't the style of the offense that Adam Gase had put in. So yeah, he couldn't copy that style. But yeah, when he was at the Steelers, it was a nuisance. It was a nuisance, and you enjoyed watching them. You didn't like playing against them.
I forgot Adam Gase was your head coach. He had that press conference, didn't he, where he was like just looking around all weird all the time. It's not the best start.
I knew that when that press conference came out, I was like, one of my teammates messaged me. He was like, I think this dude eats people.
It did look like that. It did look like
I don't know what's going
yeah.
on.
No, it didn't look great. You mentioned Kelce, you mentioned Mahomes in this interview. I assume you played against Tom Brady in that playoff run after you'd beaten the Chiefs, so the next week you lose to New England. Who would you say is the best player you've ever played against?
Best player? I mean, I gotta go with Tom Brady. Tom Brady. He's the most prolific quarterback that ever touched the field, and I played against Tom. My first year. My fourth year. Then at the Jets once, so three times I played against Tom, and I mean, you know, I never beat him. But he definitely, like, when I remember the first time I was, you know, playing him my rookie year, I was like, yo, I'm playing against Tom Brady, and it was just like this. Across from him, like hearing him call out play, I'm like, yo, this is wild.
It's like, it's so cool.
You kind of just gotta make sure you lock in and don't get starstruck.
It's incredible. It's incredible that he's 15 years older than you.
Yeah,
it's still crazy. Playing. Different positions.
Yeah, different positions, but the fact that he's 45, still playing, it's remarkable. But nah, Tom, it was cool. Like I could say, I competed against Tom Brady. And you know, playoff game, competing against him in the second round of playoffs. And, you know, it was a hell of a battle. So I definitely can put that on my list of, I guess, things I can tell my son when he gets old enough.
And then the grandkids, when you're in the rocking chair. Yeah, you sit by the fire. Grandpa's stories. Let's finish off. Obviously, you're venturing into broadcasting, and it's great to have you with us on Sky Sports NFL for a couple more weeks. But you also do – tell us about Tailgate 54 and your kind of show, what you do there in the States.
Yeah, so this is my baby that I really just kind of – me and my marketing agent thought of. And, you know, I just was – going, you know, not on a team and just kind of in a position where I'm like, what do I do? And, you know, I was really wasn't planning on trying to get a job yet full time because I hadn't retired. So I was kind of just in limbo. And I was like, well, why don't I just create my own thing, do something fun? And we came up with the idea of going around and doing tailgates with the fans. And it's like, yo, why not just do this and just take off with it? So just kind of jumped into it, didn't have a game plan, just had a camera crew, and just went along with, you know, just kind of went along each week, how, you know, just seeing what was going to happen. And it was fun, you know. It was something that I had never experienced in my life, tailgating, and just to see the fans, to see what people do outside the stadium is insane. Just the whole, I guess you could say, the fanness of people, what they do, their traditions. You know, some people would have been tailgating for 20, 30 years. You know, some places you just get crazy college kids out outside the stadium. You know, you just never know what to expect. And it's just a really fun thing, and really the fans are what makes the game. So I was like, hey, why not highlight the fans and, you know, really see what they do to prepare for these games and just kind of get an insight on that. But overall, it's been fun. And I actually brought the show to London. So we y'all don't tailgate over here, but we just wanted to like really just talk to people, ask some questions, do some fun things with them. And you'll see the episodes are pretty cool. But overall, it's a good show. Don't know where it's gonna take off to, but I was like, hey, why not just put it out there and just try it out, something new.
Absolutely, yeah. You got to get to Buffalo. That's got to be on your bucket list. Yeah, got to jump for a table at some point in Buffalo with the Bills. So where can people find it? Is it on YouTube? Is it?
Yeah, it's on YouTube. It's you can type in Tailgate 54, or you can go to my social media links. I have it posted in the bio, so it's pretty easy to find. But definitely, think you'll get a good kick out of it when you start watching episodes.
What's your now? And I know you're new to tailgating. Then what's your tailgate food? What's your favorite?
My favorite tailgate food. I gotta go with chicken wings. You get some good chicken wings. That's a go to. That's a go to. I love getting some good chicken wings.
Hey, and I know from sitting with you in the studio, you need to be well fed and regularly fed. You certainly can eat. Avery, thank you for joining me. It's been great.
Thank you very much, Neil. Appreciate you having me on.
This is 7-time Pro Bowler Cam Jordan, and you're listening to the Neil Reynolds Podcast.
There you are. Hope you enjoyed my conversation with Avery Williamson. Certainly enjoying working with him on Sky Sports NFL. Just a reminder as well, you can get involved with the Neil Reynolds West Coast Road Trip in association with Elite Sports Travel at Elite Sports Trav at Neil Reynolds NFL. And we've got that drinks event in Los Angeles where you get to meet the Around the NFL podcast heroes on Wednesday, December the 7th. Hope you can get involved. If not, then thank you for listening. Always appreciate your support in downloading, listening to this podcast. Tell your friends, spread the word. We'll be back next week with another special guest from the NFL. See you then. Been listening to the Neil Reynolds Podcast, brought to you by Elite Sports Travel. This episode was hosted by myself, Neil Reynolds, while Gary Hayes is our producer. Gary and I have also written this series together. Our consultant producers are Kerry Levy, Jackie Anklin, Nick Lapworth, and Neil Pacchietto. Taylor Hayes mixed this episode and also composed our theme music. If you'd like to keep up to date with everything we're doing throughout the season, then please follow us on Twitter and Instagram at the NR Podcast. My personal account is also at Neil Reynolds NFL. If you've enjoyed this podcast and would like to hear more like it, then visit highway61.media. That's HWY61.media. Please tell your friends about the podcast and help spread the word. Better still, leave us a rating and review wherever you're listening. This has been a Highway 61 production for the Reynolds Podcast Network.